What happens when you become a student of the University of Healing? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. What happens when you become a student of the University of Healing? Well, one thing you do, you learn that you are the master of your world. You learn that you are the master of all the circumstances that take place in your world. You learn that life is really quite exciting in a positive, wonderful way. We have a neighbor, Art, who is a wizard. He knows everything about everything, and what he doesn't know, he will explain it to you. And Art is aware of the owls that love to live in our neighborhood here. And the owls are quite large. And they have their nests in the live oak trees, and they raise their young. And sometimes the crows, that are quite large too, I mean, like they're like a dog, like a, you know, the size like a dog, like a mini pincher or something like that, you know, or bigger. And wings that spread way out, and like a hawk, Sylvia said, but I think hawks come in different sizes too, yeah. But the thing is, the owl is a predator, and the owl goes out and gets food for its young and itself. And the blackbirds, the crows, whenever they see the owl leave the nest, they go check the nest out to see if there's anything there worth picking up. And of course, the owls are not very happy about this. And when they see the crows coming to check their nest, they zero in on that crow and they come down on him like thunder. And the next thing you know, the crow is down for the count. He's out. And the crow is no longer offensive to anything or anybody. And Sylvia, at the Citadel, went to the pond at the Citadel, and she saw a crow lying there. And she thought, my goodness, what's he doing on the ground like that? Well, he was off in another dimension. And then the next day she went out there, and here's another crow. Big crow. Big. And maybe 20 inches long or better, laying on the ground. And so we thought, gee, what's causing this? And the next day, still another crow went down for the count. Three crows. And so Sylvie thought, my goodness, what can that be? And Art explained that obviously there's an owl in a nearby tree who has a nest that the crows were invading, and the owl took care of the crows so they wouldn't do that anymore. Well, interesting that we have all these owl stories right at this moment, but Ellen received a email, Delvin call?
A thesis.
Oh, is it written about in a thesis? Oh. One of our students in their thesis
Africa.
In Nigeria, and he was saying that the statement by the church and the superstition of the peoples is that when an owl is found in the backyard, that some child is going to die in the family, and that this is just always a precursor to that happening. And our student went out and saw that, and he said to himself, hey, I'm number one. I'm in charge of myself. I set the course on this, not the church or anybody else. Nobody tells me what my superstitions are going to be. And I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to say to that owl, get out of here, and I don't want to see your dust. And so he went out to his backyard, and he spoke to the owl. And he said, owl, I don't want to see you around here. You don't belong here. You have no message to give to us. Be gone, and have a nice journey, and I never want to see you again. Well, the owl took off and was never seen again. And no child was jeopardized by the owl's presence, because he took charge. He took charge of the superstition that was there, and oh, he gave us a lot more information on it, but we don't need to report that. But the thing is, he did speak his word, and the owl did go, and he no longer was bound by any superstition. He wasn't bound by it in the first place, unless he felt he was. But like he reported, he said, the church said that if an owl is in your backyard, there will be a death in your family. And these are the superstitions that come into our life. Now, what if he hadn't seen the owl? Would the superstition still be true? Now, what if he sees the owl in somebody else's yard? Is he going to scare it away so that the superstition doesn't come true? Or is he going to say, I am master. I am master. I'm going to rewrite the script. I'm going to say, whenever an owl appears in my yard is under the, not protection, but the love and the domain of the owl, who watches over everything in my yard to make sure everything is in divine order, to make sure that everybody who is in my yard is happy and hearty. And flittering about, the owl is like a beautiful bird just sharing itself. There was a young man who found a bird. And the bird had broken its wing in 8 or 10 places and had a number of other problems. And so he took this bird to the veterinarian, and the bird was, you know, sort of out of it. He couldn't walk and he couldn't do anything. And the vet says, well, I can mend him, but he's not going to fly again. And he may not walk, you know. Now, what you may be doing is prolonging his release from his body, you know. And the fellow says, nope, I believe in this bird. I want to see this bird live. Well, he took the bird home. And, well, then he had to take the bird back to the vet again after about a number of weeks. And the bird wasn't making any progress. It was going downhill. And the vet says, we'll have to put the bird away. We all are very sorry to say that, but we have to, because it's just the nice thing to do, because he just is not getting anywhere. And the man decided, nope, I'm going to stand by the bird. And then 2 days later, they're supposed to put the bird down. Well, one day later, he went back to the vet, and as he was going into the vet to talk to him about putting the bird down, the staff of the veterinarian were all smiling at him and you know, being nice to him and smiling, and he thought, what's this all about, you know? And so he went in and looked at his bird. His bird was standing on 2 feet and sort of flapping his wing, not that he could, you know, control it, but he was flapping his wings, and he was quite big. And what he was an American eagle, a big, beautiful American eagle. He stood up maybe about from the table here, 2.5, 3
wow.
feet. He was a big boy. And so the guy, the eagle got to be quite friends with the guy, and he raised the eagle. He loved the eagle, and he brought the eagle home. And he had to have a special lancelet so the eagle could be on his wrist, you know, and not dig his claws into him. And the eagle got accustomed to that. And then an interesting thing happened. The man developed a cancer. And the cancer started eating away at him. And they said, if he lives another 5 days or so, it'll be a miracle. You know. So he talked it over with his bird. And he told his bird that he had to face this situation. And the bird seemed to understand what he was saying. And the bird bent his neck down and put his bill beak against the guy's face, you know, saying, you know, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And the guy explained everything to the bird, and the bird says, "I'm here for you." You know, he just loved the guy because the guy had taken care of him from early time. And then the guy went in again, and he says, "Well, I will take whatever comes. You know, like my bird, I will see this through." Well, he had the chemotherapy, and he had the loss of the hair, and he had all the misery and all the stuff that was tough. And then they did an operation on him, and the operation was a success. There was no more cancer. And he was cancer-free for about a year. And still he is cancer-free. Well, he has his bird, and his bird is quite beautiful. And if you'd like to see the whole story, I'll send you the email of it from Mary Willett, who sent it to me. It has two pictures of him and his bird. One where the bird is laying its head against him. Mary Willett. And the other is where the bird is just sitting on his wrist, and he looks healthy as can be, you know. And you see, we build our own superstitions, and our own superstitions of cancer, of illness, of death, of euthanasia, putting people to sleep who have no possibility of getting well or whatever, or putting an animal to sleep because it has no possibility of coming out of, or whatever, you know. And my comment is not to say euthanasia is good or bad. My comment is only to say that enforced death is not always necessary. If we change our attitude about ourselves and about our world, and we can change our attitudes about ourselves and our world, and just like birds, these blackbirds, these crows that were raiding the hawk, the eagle, the owl's nest, you know, there was quite a story behind it. But when you just see the hawk, the eagle, when you just see the owl going after the crow, and you say, "How terrible, you know, why is the owl chasing the crow?" Well, when you know the story, you understand.
Uh-huh.
Now, what you can do is to say, the crows are learning to be intelligent enough not to go after the owl's babies because it's not a successful operation because the owls are able to handle it very well.
Uh-huh.
And so it was with the owl in Nigeria. And so it was with the American bald eagle that this fellow had. And I'll put it on to the to all the people on my email and to the internet too for the thought for today, because it's a beautiful little story and the pictures are just really quite lovely. So we are in charge. We create our own superstitions and our own fantasies, and we create our own possibilities of dying and living. And if we're going to concentrate on dying, we have 3 days to die. They say 3 days to live. Concentrate rather on, I have every moment of my life is precious, and I live every moment of my life as though it's the last moment of my life. And not fatalistically, but from the point of view to get the most out of it, to enjoy it thoroughly. Now, what would I do if it were the last moment of my life? If it were the last moment of my life, I would probably just sit quietly and think to myself,
hi,
I've had a wonderful life. I've had a wonderful world, and it still is a wonderful world. And I feel good, and I feel wonderful. And if I were to go then, fine. If I didn't go then because I didn't have to, but that's good too. But you see, these are all superstitions. These are all attitudes. These are all ways of thinking. And that's why Jesus said to us,
it's done unto you according to your belief.
It is done unto you according to your belief. I love you eternally.